carrier bloatware or boy band deep cut? How long did it take you to come up with this list?
Not long.
Not long.
Bloatware.
Fucking fast.
Bloatware.
I'm going to go with deep cut. That is carrier bloatware.
Nice.
All right, let's do this. Roll for host.
Which one was yours?
11. Josh, 9, 11, me.
Oh, shit.
Reroll. Invalid roll.
Oh, it's 20!
20!
Roll it.
All right. Now you got a pattern.
All right, now I'm
all right, we're going to reroll it to see if he can... if Chaz can reproduce my double 20 last episode.
17.
All right, win either way.
Goes unchecked.
I do win. Excellent. Hey, welcome to the escort mission.
Hey, guys.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
For the personal invite.
It's good to be here.
This is the show where we talk about things. Joining me, as they do whenever we record the show, I am Chaz. Joining me are Mike.
That's me.
And Josh.
Howdy.
Welcome. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
It's
good to be here.
It's been a couple weeks since our board game extravaganza.
Yeah. I've gotten a couple comments recently on me saying howdy.
Uh-huh.
People think that's really weird now, apparently, some people.
I don't feel like it's that weird.
It's not that weird.
Somebody told me that was the first time anyone's ever said that to me. Literally said that when I
wow.
said that. Crazy, right?
Huh.
I don't
that's
know.
It's pretty crazy.
That's strange. Yeah.
It's quite
I think
strange.
It's more weird that they thought it was weird that you said howdy.
Okay.
I mean, I think that... I don't think... go with any greeting, right? You want to rank our greetings? Let's rank greetings. We've been having many arguments before the show. We rehashed our cookie argument.
Oh, God. Yeah, we did.
We argued about quality of various fries.
They think I eat cookies wrong.
No, we don't. We don't. We
just
for
the design purposes
studies
of the
better
test.
Than you
just
do.
Just for the purposes of the test, you do.
You
yes.
would just be a bad scientist. Yeah, your essays would not be...
You would produce yeah. accurate science that I yeah. would not care about.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
There we go.
Yeah,
he's invalidated us.
What's been going on in the world since we last talked, Josh?
I saw a lot of movies, but there was a lot of MMO news.
Mm-hmm.
There was QuakeCon and like Sony Online something con. And,
there's been mad esports. Like, there's a ton of esports happening this weekend as well.
Yeah, that too.
How
yeah.
is QuakeCon MMO news?
Is Quake does. ID own Bethesda or something like that?
I think Bethesda owns id.
Okay, there yeah. you go. So there was a lot of Bethesda news, and Bethesda is Skyrim mm-hmm. and...
Yes. Skyrim and Online.
Elder Scrolls Online.
Elder Scrolls,
so,
right.
So there was a bunch yeah. of Elder Scrolls Online stuff. That looks cool. It basically looks like Skyrim the MMO.
So it's just everybody playing Skyrim in the same
Skyrim
world, essentially?
MMO.
To me, that's what it looks like. I think it looks pretty cool.
Okay.
You know, the footage of that executed with four people co-op in a dungeon is like, whoa, that's a very different four-man co-op RPG, like action combat. Like, you don't see that in other games, you know?
Yeah.
What don't you see? Like, sort of live
like
combat?
That combat in four-man co-op.
Okay. That's never been there. Didn't like Age of Conan have kind of like live action third
no,
person?
No,
control?
That was MMO combat.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was,
I thought there was one yeah, that was like Twitch based.
There was one that was more Twitch based, but I'm blanking on what it's called.
There's a number that are becoming more action-y.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Conan is one. Terra is one. Guild Wars 2 is one.
Maybe it was Terra, I was thinking.
Neverwinter is one. But I've tried all those, but they're still pretty MMO. They're just. You know, they're incorporating action-y aspects. You know?
Is it just because they still mainly rely on stats, like dice rolls, to make the hits?
No.
Because isn't that kind of like the epitome of an MMO combat, is that it's, like, no matter how fast you hit stuff, it still matters, like, the stats still matter. Like, you could shoot
yeah,
someone
maybe.
In the face and miss
you know what?
If you can't use your gun.
That might be one of the particularly determining factors. But the funny thing is, even with action games now, you can still use dice rolls behind the scenes.
I think that's the thing that people object to is when it's like, is the skill involved here the kind of meta aspect of specting the character properly and getting the best gear, or is it, you know, the Twitch-based aiming carefully and you know, getting a headshot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it stat or dex, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to put those two together because, like, you'll be playing Fallout.
It's not stat-dex. It's very easy to put those two together.
You'll be playing a game like, you know, Fallout, and you'll be, like, point blank, shoot someone in the forehead and miss them because your stat to use a gun is 5% or something. Right. And that really is jarring, you know? So is it what is it more like?
It looks more dex.
Oh, okay.
So what was there other interesting aspects of that that MMO announcement?
Dude, it's Skyrim Online.
Skyrim Online. What else do you need?
The other thing that looks cool is EverQuest Next, which, you know, info came out like on the same day. And EverQuest Next looks pretty cool. It's basically like the art style looks like WoW, but newer. And dudes are like leaping and climbing over shit in a much more action-y way, and floating and hovering and ground stomping. And then the combat is way more action-y with voxels, with like particle.
Voxels, that's right. That's the
particle
thing.
Effects and stuff.
Voxels.
Right? So like
destructibility.
You know, bosses will like cast spells that smash the ground that literally make dents in the ground and stuff. And you can do like a spinning cyclone move that knocks pillars down and stuff. And so you can fall through the floor and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that looks kind of neat, but chaotic, particularly with a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to work. The stuff they showed in the demos is just going to be fucking chaos when there's a few people on the screen, you know, but cool for a single player game.
Yeah.
You know, but the crazy ass part about EverQuest Next, which still looks like it might be like 2 years off or something like that, is that they announced another game called EverQuest Next Landmark, which is going to come out this year, supposedly before the end of the year, which basically looks like Minecraft using the EverQuest Next voxel-loaded engine.
Huh.
So you can go, there's like several layers of underground. There's the immediate underground, and then the like crystallized something double underground, and then there's the lava-y triple underground or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going to be much of a game as much as like a sandbox with creator tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so the creator tools look, you know, like Minecraft, but way more detail, customization on a small scale with the voxels, right? So it's not just building giant blocks. You can put textures on them and curve them. And
that's cool.
You make spheres and...
Yo, dude, check out these
jagged
spheres.
Edges or whatever.
Spheres, man.
And then they basically want you to use that game-ish thing that comes out and create a bunch of custom content that they might end up putting in their other game. So they're like crowdsourcing their fucking game.
That's cool.
Which is cool. I mean, I think but that, really like, ambitious.
Second Life let you do that. Let you build stuff and sell it within the thing. And
yeah,
I heard that
Neverwinter does it with some of the quests.
Doesn't Skyrim MMO? Doesn't that have
Elder Scrolls Online?
That one, yeah.
Skyrim MMO.
Skyrim MMO.
I got it.
Skyrim MMO.
Skyrim MMO. Online, it will be called Skyrim MMO.
Skyrim MMO. That one's got like real estate and player-owned buildings and stuff.
Okay.
Which I think they've had since Ultima Online.
Well, Ultima Online had it, and then like nothing else did.
Oh, no, a bunch of games have.
Really?
It's just not all the mainstreamist ones.
Mm.
Like I bought a house in Escheron's Call, was immediately after EverQuest.
Uh-huh.
We stayed up. We got a team of people because the new houses were going to get released at any arbitrary random time throughout a month.
Oh.
So we had like a group of people all getting each other's phone numbers and staying up in shifts for a whole month in order to like stake out the claim of the housing development we wanted.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as it went for sale, somebody was going to call everybody else in a chain and wake them all up and buy the houses.
Nice.
And we did. I got that fucking house.
Nice.
And I put like, you know,
shit in it.
Animal heads on the walls and stuff.
Like you do.
Monster.
Yeah.
Like trophies.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah. Supposedly they're going to let people like actually, who knows to what extent you'll be able to do this, like design the homes and like actually build them out and sell them and whatever. So it's not going to be like you bought house 1A and it's like the plan of the house. You get to actually like be the architect for the homes.
Throw a little
cool
Sims in your Skyrim.
Yeah, I guess. Do you get to like actually do the layout of the house in Sims?
In Sims? Yeah.
I've never played Sims.
Really?
Really.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like any Sim game. Yeah, you get to... But yeah, you get to build the walls.
I played Sim Earth and Sim Ant.
You get to build the walls and the carpet and the paint and put all the furniture in, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a dollhouse.
Sims, you build the house from scratch. Every MMO that I know of that has player housing, the houses are pre-built, and then you pretty much have specific slots on walls and the floor and stuff like that to put specific types of decorations. So you can mount awesome swords and... you know, like Final Fantasy 14 is putting them in shortly, and you're going to be able to get custom, like, monster-themed chandeliers and weird stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the houses are pre-built.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, well, it'd be nice if they didn't do that.
I don't know. That's one thing in the news. There's the Chromecast is pretty rad.
Let's talk about the Chromecast.
We all got one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you guys using it a lot?
Yeah.
Like, even though you have an HD PC...
Yeah.
But none of you have an Apple TV, right? Except for me.
You have an Apple TV. Josh and I both have TVs or PCs hooked up to our TVs.
Right. Because, like, if I didn't have the Apple TV, I could see myself using it a lot. But because we have an Apple TV, it's just...
Let's say what it is.
Yeah. Go ahead. Say what it is.
A thumb drive shaped USB type plug, except it plugs into the HDMI port of a TV or, entertainment system. It also needs power, typically a little power cable like a phone charger. But
a really new TV.
Super tiny, except it's a lot like a Roku or an Apple TV or, you know, one of these small Android-based entertainment devices. But it's very, very limited functionality. It's only $35, and it's primarily used for YouTube and Netflix and Google Play Store content and a Chrome browser tab streaming,
yes.
Or desktop, but desktop is experimental.
Right.
Even Chrome tabs are beta.
Right.
And YouTube works really well, and they want other apps to support it shortly, but the app developer needs to add support. But it works right now out of the box with those things, with iPhones, Android devices, Windows, Chrome and OS X Chrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the most direct comparison is AirPlay on Apple ecosystem, except instead of it does one thing that AirPlay does, which is like mirroring, so you can mirror a tab from a Chrome browser,
but not from a mobile device.
Right, which actually works really badly on Macs. I don't know. Have you tried it with
using an iPhone.
I mean mirroring a tab from a browser.
No, I didn't test that.
Okay,
I didn't get a chance to test that.
I did it with a PC and with a Mac, and the PC worked fine. It worked great. And the Mac, it threw it up there, but the text was super garbled and funky and weird. And then there's a thread online about people complaining about
it. Was it a good Mac?
It's the Haswell MacBook Air, the newest one.
Well, maybe it's too new and there's a weird bug with it.
Yeah.
Because The Verge review seemed to be using a MacBook Pro, and it seemed flawless.
Maybe it's something really good. The Intel HD 5000 graphics chip, which is brand new,
or
whatever.
I think there's just kinks to work
out. Oh, yeah, certainly. I wouldn't imagine it's very new hardware. Irredeemable.
Yeah.
So it does that piece, which is something that AirPlay does, but intelligently probably, it doesn't stream everything through the device. So when you have a device that, if you're using a phone, or even if you're using a browser but not trying to stream the whole browser tab, you can just send to the Chromecast, and it automatically detects any Chromecasts that are in the vicinity. Tell it to go up to YouTube or go up to Netflix and get a stream and pull it down and start playing it through the TV, which is really smart. There's not a lot of security features. As a matter of fact, there are no security features, so anything that you're playing can be interrupted by anyone else on the network who does that, which is kind of annoying, but I'm sure they will add a bunch of stuff.
And the one time that I tested it, when I used an iPhone, I tested both a YouTube video and a Netflix video, and both times the video on the Chromecast completely lost sync with my phone, meaning that like I queued it up and I hit play, and then when I went to like pause or stop or anything, it was dead. So essentially it started playing and I had no control over it until it ended.
So I had that experience as well.
Queued up a new one.
But it was like 50 minutes later.
was... Oh, maybe maybe that's the thing. I didn't wait 50 minutes. I waited, you know, 5 seconds like normal people, and then
No, that's up. So that's what I'm saying. Like, whenever I... If I tried to, like, play and pause and stuff immediately after starting the video, it worked. But then I did have that experience after, like, 15 minutes where it wouldn't
work anymore. This was, like, immediate. Like, yeah, so I hit play, and then it immediately lost sync, and I was like, so there's no way for me to stop it.
Right.
I would literally have to queue up a new one or pull the hardware out of the TV to, like, get it to reset, which was baffling.
Out of the quite a bit that I've used it with two Android devices so far of my own, and then a little bit with a few guests, I've replicated the issue of like the control not popping up only like once. And on that person's device, when they launched Netflix and they didn't see the button, what I had them do was force quit the Netflix app on their Android device, then relaunch it, and then it saw it immediately.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that's a workaround you could try on the Apple Easily, whether you double tap or whatever to force quit that shit.
Yeah, I didn't try that.
But yeah, if it had seen it and then hadn't, like I haven't replicated that. I only like had someone who didn't see it at all, and I said try relaunching, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely a beta device, but it's $30 and it's pretty cool for all
that. It's very cool for what it does when it does work. But if, like I said, if you have an Apple TV already, it's not really that useful.
Well, a lot of stuff plays Netflix, so that doesn't seem like a huge selling point for a lot of people.
And lots of stuff plays YouTube.
And a decent amount of stuff plays YouTube, but fewer. Yeah. Like the Roku doesn't, unless you use like a weird Plex transcoder thing from a PC that's running somewhere else in the house.
I don't think Xbox plays YouTube. Does PS4?
Xbox has a YouTube app.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. That was my previous best YouTube playing device experience. I don't think PS3 does.
PS3 rather.
But some live TVs or whatever I think do. But my opinion of the device basically is that it is, so far in my opinion, the best YouTube playing device. So it is the best YouTube watching experience that can be had, in multiple ways. Personally, one-on-one, like I prefer watching YouTubes on it rather than watching them on a computer or even a computer plugged into a TV.
Mm-hmm.
And for multiple people in the room, like as a YouTube party device where people are sending things to it, I've tried that a couple times, and it is the best device for that too.
Yeah, so, it's great for that.
So basically, it is my YouTube device. Whenever I want to watch YouTube, I switch to that input. But I think Netflix needs a little work. It's like missing a next button in Netflix.
Mm.
So it's kind of a hassle to get to the next episode.
Uh-huh. You have to like stop and key down and then hit the next one.
You have to like send the next one to it instead of just hitting next or whatever.
Yeah. The I think the basically the fundamental difference to like an Apple TV is that Apple TV is integrated at a system level. Like AirPlay is system level, and so it will send anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is integrated at the app level, so it can do some stuff that the system level thing can't, because it can be application specific, but it can't. But then all the app developers have to individually implement it, so it's just a different approach.
Yeah,
but we actually got a couple at work too, and or ordered a couple and used one for like a conference room TV type situation, and it's pretty cool because you don't have to plug in your laptop to the projector; you can just hit it.
And the tab mirroring is like no discernible lag.
It works really well, and the lag is determined by the power of the device. Because it's transcoding.
Yeah.
We tried it from a netbook, and it was horrible. It was like one frame every 10 seconds.
Mm. Yeah.
And we tried it from a decent laptop, and it's pretty good. Like, when you scroll down the page, it's obviously 400 milliseconds late or something like that. But on my home desktop, it is so freaking fast. Like, if you look at the TV and the monitor at the same time, you can tell it's a little behind. But if you're looking at the TV and listening to the audio, the audio looks like it's coming out of their lips. So it's probably like a 200 millisecond lag.
Yeah, it's setting up a screen share, basically. It's like VNCing to something. So yeah, it's just sending screenshots.
But the compression needs to occur on the the client or whatever.
Exactly.
The host, sending party.
The host. So that thing needs to be powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why you mentioned like in chat several weeks ago about the ability to do AirPlay from a Mac, which I had never tried. I'd only tried from my phone and my tablet.
Yeah, I would expect it to be...
Right, and it's much better. It's like almost no discernible lag. Yeah. So yes, I could play games on my Mac on my TV over AirPlay, and I never even really thought about doing that. Mm-hmm. I just need to get like the wireless keyboard and mouse set up.
Or get the controller working in Mac OS X or whatever.
If it's a game that uses a controller, like not every game works
or, with a controller. Or get like an Xpadder type equivalent thing working with
the controller. I mean, I don't necessarily want to play every game with a controller like you have conditioned yourself to do, but
I'm not saying every. I'm just, you know, the ones you might want to play on the TV might be.
But like Shadowrun, like, you know, like an RPG, like, or it's like a real time strategy tactics game. That's
sure.
I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with mouse and keyboard. So
yeah, but although, you might also prefer to play that game at the desk, right?
Right.
The ones I would think you might want to stream to the TV would be the more controller friendly ones, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only Mac games.
There is a YouTube video of a dude playing StarCraft 2 with an Xbox controller. It's fucking nuts. And he's like high master's rank.
Nice. I'm sure it's possible ridiculous. To do with anything if you learn it.
Yeah. Other sort of newsy stuff. Microsoft committed to those like digital sharing features. It seemed like all the stuff that they originally announced, and then they said, "Oh, we're not doing this because everyone hates us now."
You mean on the X-Bone?
Yes, they are now saying we are planning to do all of those things, but we're just going to roll them out over time. So they have
out of all the things they said, that's the one recently that I didn't think was as concrete as the others.
Like, it sounded like pretty concrete.
I don't know. They basically said, yeah, we still kind of want to do that. Like, they didn't announce the terms of it and say, this is happening on this date. This is a guarantee. Like, the things that I thought were news from Microsoft for the last couple weeks were the they're including a headset in the box. And what was the other? There are four things they reversed on recently.
Like indie publishing?
So one is indie publishing. Yeah. They were getting a lot of flack for not allowing indie self-publishing. One was the disc thing. They reversed their DRM and went to discs. One was including the headset in the box. They decided to just do that because they were getting flack for Microsoft or for Sony including a headset and them not, even though it's more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the fourth? What was the fourth?
The one you just said? The sharing features?
No, I think there was another fourth. Because I didn't include that in my count to four. Uh-huh. Hmm.
Here's the quote from the article that I saw was... we are completely committed to the digital vision we laid out and the plan, and we plan and intend to deliver all the things we said before, Microsoft's Youssef Mehdi tells us. He explains that Microsoft wants to and can do it, but it's seeking feedback before any future changes are made. You're going to see more of the things that we talked about with digital, he confirms, including a family sharing feature, that blah, 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 creative pricing models for games. So this article was talking about the digital sales of like the reselling your digitally purchased goods and all that stuff. It was specifically about all the features that they backed away from previously, that essentially over the next 10 years of the console lifecycle, they plan to introduce all those features.
Over the next 10 years?
Right. I mean,
so the console life cycle, years before any of that happens.
Theoretically. But the point is, they still plan to do it, which I think is a good thing, probably.
I suppose.
They also got flack for like a paywall, essentially, like
For Xbox Live stuff.
A number of the features gold. Requiring gold, but that was kind of to be expected, I think. But then they also are giving a little bit more leniency with gold on single systems. So if you have a gold membership on one account on a single system, everyone else that uses that system has full access to all gold features.
Unlike now.
So it's kind of like, unlike now, which is kind of a little bit better for families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or significantly better, but only for multiple people on the same device.
I just feel that all that stuff with the used game sharing was totally knee-jerk and not well thought through. So I'm glad that they're at least saying, like, we still think that we should do all the things that we thought we should do before, but we're going to roll them out, you know, in a more gentle process and explain it fully and whatever. So that'll be good. Did you guys hear about the fake burger? Sergey Brin of Google.
Yeah.
And that it's funded like... a $325,000 5-ounce hamburger of vat grown meat.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
And the conclusion that it was like, okay.
It just tasted, apparently, it tasted not bad. Like meat. Yeah, yeah, it was grown from cow stem cells.
Yeah.
And there's no fat in it because you would have to also grow fat from cow stem cells, I presume.
So it's just muscle?
It was just the protein.
Or protein?
Right,
okay.
Yeah. So then you can cook it in a bunch of butter and make it, you know, fatty and delicious, right?
Huh.
Oh, did they add a bunch of butter?
Well, they cooked it as a hamburger. So, I mean, I don't know how you do this, but yeah, they had like food critics trying it, but that's a pretty, I mean, obviously a $325,000 burger is not,
it's a little pricey.
Is not good value, but, as far as, there are lots of vegetarians whose primary, reason for not being vegetarian is they don't want to be involved in killing other beings.
Mm-hmm.
And, as far as like dealing with, you know, global overpopulation and stuff, it could be pretty game changing. It's like science fiction, you know. Plenty of novels I've read have talked about, you know, the vat meat that mm-hmm. allowed society to continue.
Yeah, or you know, like your meal that comes in a pill kind of right. a deal, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd be definitely curious to try it. I'm sure there will be plenty of people who, you know, will refuse to eat it still just based on principle, or they'll think that it doesn't taste good enough and they still want the real thing. But it does seem more like,
if they can bring it
what
to scale,
the future will be.
Yeah,
I think that's happening. You know,
it's pretty game-changing.
We will eventually get over the mass, you know, murdering of cows or whatever and move to that, I think,
right.
at
yeah.
some point.
I mean, like, there are way more cows than there need to be.
Right.
If it weren't for the fact that we ate large amounts of them on a regular basis.
Would they take over?
No, I'm saying there would be no cows. Like, there would be whatever, you know, 0.5% of the number of cows that actually exist
right.
would exist because we farm them.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I expect it's like inevitable.
Yeah.
It's cool. You know, transparent aluminum exists?
Yeah.
That's fucking cool. Like the thing from Star Trek 4 where they go back and they're like, we don't have a way to get that much water into the Romulan warbird. We need to store it. And like, okay, let's go to a materials factory and give him the thing for that. That thing that they gave him was transparent aluminum. And it was this total science fiction ridiculousness. And yet, you know, I don't know, a couple years ago, somebody actually made it as part of the DARPA challenge or something.
Wow. Oh, the clock.
It's rad.
The clock speed went up. I was including that in my Microsoft list.
Gotcha.
By how much?
Package improvements to try to catch up to the PS4. That was one of the four things. Went from like 800 to 853, which is not an insignificant percentage.
853 seems like a weird clock speed, doesn't it?
It doesn't seem like a
computer numbers are never.
It's not a base, two yes. or anything. What is? Where
I think
do they
that's
get that
what
from?
It was.
They're maybe rarely odd.
It
you
sounds
know what
weird,
I mean?
Right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just that's what it was clocked at. Like they built it to a certain spec, must, and that's how fast it was.
Maybe 853 is divisible by like 17 or something. It's some weird multiplier.
Uh huh. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's got to be a weird multiplier.
Let's check that, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I think my bet's on 17.
853, you said.
Yeah.
Divided by 17.
That's my guess.
No.
Any other news? Oh, there was a Moto X. Do you want to talk about that?
It's a phone.
It's a phone.
It's like a new Android phone. I had high hopes for it because since Google bought Motorola, you know, everyone was thinking maybe this was going to be the one where like Google had a lot of influence in helping Motorola make a sweet ass Google phone, right? But in actuality, I think they had a pretty terrible relationship so far. Google and Motorola are like giving each other a cold shoulder a little bit. And Google's like, you're just any other manufacturer to us. And they're like, no, no. You know, anyway, they make this phone immediately after announcing three Verizon specific Motorola phones.
Right.
That run the gamut.
Other droids.
Different specs and stuff, different droids. And it's real similar to the middle one of those, which I forget the names of because they're all silly names.
It's like the Droid Max, the Droid
Ultra,
whatever. Yes.
Yeah, and Mini.
Tear your face off.
Something.
Robot attack.
Anyway, the Moto X, not Droid.
Yes.
Because Droid is a Verizon thing, is a cool phone. It's like 4.7 inches.
Yeah.
And
It's like solidly mid-range.
It's a solidly mid-range Android phone, decent specs, good camera with low light support, except maybe a little buggy, and then super customizable back and sides and
yes.
front.
Yes.
So the front can either be black or white. The back can be fucking green or wood or textured black or yeah. whatever.
Crazy.
Like a ton of
carbon
things.
Carbon fiber.
And then the buttons and edge can be like a number of different colors, like five or six different, like gold or white or whatever.
All of which is user customizable
Yeah, you when order you purchase on their website.
It, and if you don't like it, you can send it back and they'll send you another one. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's some cool software features. So this is the first phone that listens to you all the time.
Which isn't a software feature. That's hardware. There's a specific chip on board that does that.
Ooh.
To do constant.
I did not know that.
Like audio recognition processing.
Yeah. So this is a bit like the Xbox One thing, like always listening to you saying Xbox do things.
Yeah.
Or like the Google Glass. Except Google Glass actually still requires you to touch it before it listens. But mm-hmm. this phone should be always listening if you don't use like a secure lock screen.
Yep.
So one of the commercials that's pretty convincing is this guy who's like waking up in the morning and going to bed and he says, you know, Android, hello, whatever.
So you say, okay, Google now.
Okay, Google now.
Yeah.
Okay, Google now, set my alarm for 8 a.m.
Yeah.
or something like that. And it just does it. And yeah. he didn't even unlock it or anything.
So, and it also apparently does, not only does it recognize your voice, but it does like voice print matching. So you have to do like a setup phase where you say a bunch of different weird phrases, like in sneakers, you know?
Yeah.
My voice is my password. Verify me. Mm-hmm. You have to do that process with your phone. And then other people can't just yell, okay, Google now, take a picture of my balls and, you know, just make it do things. So, and supposedly it works pretty well. Like you say it and it works and other people say it and it doesn't work.
Wow, that's cool.
So if I forget what else is notable about it, because
it's
pretty mid-range.
It's got an AMOLED screen, which is...
Yeah, so it doesn't have an LED anymore.
They're pretty... Generally speaking, I think AMOLEDs are bad, except the one thing that is good about them is they can light the pixels pixel by pixel.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a feature where it'll show just like right in the middle of the screen, it can light up a very small portion that will show you notifications. Like you have three emails... Or
so the whole screen saving battery power.
Exactly. Oh, so it'll drastically less battery
that's
power.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah. Existing phones have like an LED that flashes a color if you have a notification.
Right.
But they totally removed it because when the rest of the screen is black, the rest of the screen is not using electricity.
Yeah.
So just the part that shows your little notification icon is pretty low battery.
That's cool.
But the battery life is not outstanding. It just sounds pretty middle of the road or a little good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it lasts a day.
Yeah. Which is all you want.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But the camera...
Well, no, I want it to last forever.
I mean,
okay.
I want a two-day battery. Like, the better Moto phone that they just released, that's $300 on Verizon, is like the Ultra Max or something
right.
weird. It's got a two-day
Ultra
battery.
Ultra Robot Boner Death.
Yeah, and it's, death and it's only like it's only 5, like a millimeter thicker or something. Like,
but it's like barely. A 5-inch screen, right?
It's a little bigger screen,
yeah, so
yes.
Yeah, more space for a battery.
But I think the extra thickness... I think a lot of people would go for that if it weren't like $200 more or whatever.
Yeah. I want, we've had this discussion before, I want faster charge times at this point. Like as long as the phone can last a day, at that point I just want quick charge over lasting longer.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause when
obviously I want both, right?
Because when I plug something in, like I can usually leave it plugged in for a while.
Once
I prefer is for it to not need the plug for the longest.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think I prefer...
It really depends on, yeah, I mean, but for us, like our daily life, like
yeah.
whereas we basically probably all just plug it in at night and then unplug
yeah.
it in the morning, like, yep. yeah, I mean, I don't know, I mean, what's wrong with that current affair? I mean, you want to just be able to, you want to, you
well,
want
there
to
is
not
the
have
day,
to do that at all?
Or there
you have
is
to
do
the,
it very low? The speed of your car charger to increase? Because car chargers are usually way slower than AC chargers.
I don't have a car charger.
Okay.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, there can be a day where you happen to use the phone a lot or whatever, right? And so, you know, it's getting close to the end of the day and you barely make it home. Where instead you could have plugged it in for 5 minutes and gotten like 60% charge back. That would be awesome.
Or it could just last longer and then you wouldn't have to worry about plugging it in at all.
Yeah, theoretically.
So
I guess it's two ways to the same thing. I just, yeah, I don't know, capacitors like, or something.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, this is like a build, you know, you're like assigning stat points
right.
to your phone. You know, this is, you want mana,
yeah,
higher
mana
maximum mana
or,
capacity
yeah.
or higher mana regeneration.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so speaking of phones, I have a game for us to play.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
We are now going to play a game called,
I'm
going to
win.
Called Carrier Bloatware or Boy Band Deep Cut.
Wow.
Wherein I will tell you a thing and you will tell me whether it is a bullshit carrier feature instituted by Verizon or actually not, it's not purely carriers. It could be like, you know, shitty manufacturer knockoff feature Or a deep cut off a like 98 Degrees album. Okay, here we go. Here we go. We're going to start Gold. With Plug and Pop. Is that Carrier Bloatware or a boy band deep
cut? I'm going to go with, do we just shout out our answer?
Yeah, just say what, I mean, say keep track at home.
Yeah,
Plug and Pop.
Yeah.
If you would have just said pop, I would have known my answer, but you said
plug. It's ampersand. Plug, ampersand, yeah, pop.
Bloatware.
Just to be, you know.
Just to be Josh. Antagonistic. He's going to say the other thing.
I'll say deep cut.
Wait, so that's because you actually agree with me, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what the
answer
is.
Well, I mean, that's what the game is, right? The game is only going to be funny because these are surprisingly right. Bloatware. So, okay. But I think that sounds like a deep cut, sure.
That one is Carrier Bloatware.
Nice.
Now we have Knock On, Carrier Bloatware, or Boy Band Deep Cut.
How long did it take you to come up with this?
Not long.
Bloatware.
Fucking fast.
Bloatware.
I'm going to go with Deep Cut.
That is Carrier Bloatware.
Nice.
Now we go with Pose. Is it Carrier Bloatware?
Pose.
I'm going to go with Deep Cut again.
Deep Cut, correct. You're
all right. Wait, which band?
I don't remember.
Oh, that come on.
It's either NSYNC, 98 Degrees, or Backstreet Boys, because okay. those are the right. like, most obvious.
Okay,
we're going with AYO Technology.
What?
Is it Carrier Bloatware or a boy
band?
Wait,
Deep he's
cut?
Baiting us. I think
know.
This is a huge bait.
It sounds like Bloatware. You're not telling us that's Deep Cut.
Mike?
I gotta go with Bloatware.
That is a boy band deep cut.
Oh, God.
What? That one's like featuring Timbaland or something.
I just, in my conscience, I couldn't say deep cut. I didn't want it to be true. That's the thing.
Okay, we're going with Zoe.
Spell that? Like Zoe Deschanel?
Zoe, like the name.
Well,
is that
she spells it with two O's or one O?
Okay, so it's Zoe with one O.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Bloatware.
Bloatware, correct. Yes. Nice. Well done.
Wait, what is this bloatware? I'm really curious.
I don't know. We could look it up. I didn't bother.
I mean, that sounds really curious what the hell that is. My okay. phone's got Zoe and yours doesn't.
Did you find a Wikipedia article full of bloatware?
No, I just
names?
Googled like LG oh Android features. And Boom Sound.
Oh, no.
Is Boom Sound Carrier Bloatware?
That sounds like an HTC thing. I'm going to say Bloatware.
I'm going to say Deep Cut.
Bloatware. Carrier Bloatware. I think it is HTC. Bump.
Oh, no, that's definitely... That's a real app. That's
yeah, that is... We've used it.
That's an app. We use that.
But he's not saying app. He's saying Bloatware. That's different from an app.
It's probably both. I'm going to go with both.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Bloatware.
So the answer that I had was Boy Band Deep Cut, but if you're saying it's an app,
it's
I don't know.
It's literally
it is an
app.
Yeah. Okay. It's yes. where you like bump okay. your phones
Yeah,
together.
You bump your phones and you send a contact or a pic.
Okay.
Okay. This is, they're all along. Some other Carrier Bloatware, AirView, Group Play, Watch On, other Boy Band Deep Cuts, Avenue, You Got It, Plug It In, Shake It. Yeah,
plug it in.
Oh, man.
No, I believe that's the Glade slogan or something, right? That was
yeah,
good.
That stuff is
thank you for that, Chad.
Ridiculous.
Quality.
Yeah, bring more of those. I think we've got a board game that's the whole consent. The whole point of that is just either this or that,
A or B. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I've got some news that's personal news, but also just general tech. My wife and I have been considering getting solar panels.
Cool.
For our house.
Very cool. Super cool.
I forget why we first started thinking about this. But anyway, we looked into it. We actually met with a local company that's actually like just up the road
Borrego
from us.
Borrego
Solar? No, they're actually called McGuire, because the guy who started its last name is McGuire,
uh-huh.
and he decided to change his company's name to McWire. To be punny.
Nice. I want to interrupt. Can I interrupt briefly and ask, what are your primary motivations?
Primary motivations are to have a zero electricity bill monthly and save the universe, obviously. And well, I think those are mainly the two things.
So
yeah.
my deeper questions with those motivations are, mm-hmm. do you want to, like, save...
Oh, and also add resale value to the house.
Do you want to save money altogether? Do you want to end up in the black with this investment total? Or do you...
Well, I know that won't happen overnight. I know that's a many year...
No, even if it's ever.
Well, I mean, ever... I mean...
Basically, it would have to...
Is that part of the motivation?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess eventually.
Okay, but yeah. the other part reduce carbon emissions, or what's the
well,
other
that's
part?
The thing is,
what's the environment part?
Is it, well, it's just offsetting some of the power that is used in the county through cleaner energy sources. Yes, because I know we're not, you know, solar panels. You don't get them, at least in our case, to use the energy that you generate. You mm-hmm. are simply generating it and then selling it back to SDG&E
to the grid.
Who still is powering our house using, you know, carbon emissions and dead dinosaurs. Right. So I realize...
carbon involved in the production of the solar panel.
And there's... Of course, yeah. There's also... It's... Yeah. There's negatives to even making the solar panels. So it's not like, you know, completely 100%, you know, virtuistic choice. But I do like the idea of not having a monthly bill. Because, I mean, how I see it is it's basically like... because we're thinking about buying, we're not, you know, you can also lease them. The issue with leasing, you can lease the panels, meaning you don't have to put money down. You're not actually purchasing them. You are leasing them like a monthly fee, like a car from the company, and they still come out and put them on your house and you still get the benefits of them. But, you know, you never own them. So you are essentially paying them for them forever or until you sell your house. And then if you sell your house, the people who buy your house have to take over that responsibility of leasing, like,
or
they have to qualify
it,
or you as the seller have to pay some large amount of fee, like you have to pay, like, you know, the rest of what your contract would be. So, and most of them come with like a 20-year lease.
Yeah.
So if we lease them and then sell in 5 years, and the people who buy our house don't want them or don't want to or don't qualify for them for whatever reason, then we would have to pay 15 years of solar panel up front right then.
What's the expected life of the cells?
I think there's at least a 30, either a 25 or 30 year warranty on it. We would need about 11 cells. Or 11 3-foot by 5-foot panels, which each have like multiple cells in them, in order to cover what our average electricity bill is. Mm-hmm. So if we want to have a zero electricity bill, we would need about 11 panels. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked to lots of other companies since meeting with this one small company, because, you know, we wanted to shop around, make sure.
Compare
bids. And what's really interesting is that several larger companies... have either, like, they don't want to sell us. I'm not sure about leasing, because we're only looking to purchase right now. They are not interested in selling us a small system like that. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's just not cost effective for them to do, you know, only 11 panels. You know, like,
I was
like,
gonna ask if there was enough space on your roof here.
Oh, definitely. No, there's room probably for maybe like 25
and
or 30.
And is there an issue with your HOA? Their HOA is cool with
That's still being looked into. There is already someone in our neighborhood that has them. Uh-huh. So someone has gone through the architectural application.
Gotcha.
And I don't know if that means that everybody's cool now, or if we also have to pay a fee to have them come out and assess our property or whatever. Still looking into that.
It's probably not that. It was just like, I was just wondering if your HOA, if your homeowners association might have said, like, no one's allowed to alter the exterior of the building at all.
No, you are allowed, but you must go through this architectural review.
Okay.
Like, to get a screen door. We could get a screen door, but we have to pay, I think, a fee, and they have to assess it, and they have to be like, okay, this is not changing it in a way that we are unhappy with. You can go ahead and do it. Same thing with solar panel, same thing with a satellite dish. Like, the people across the street got a satellite dish. They had to do that, too. So we can do it. We only need about 11. That's apparently a small installation. The big companies don't even want to sell us that small of a... They're just like, you know what? Unless your electricity bill is averaging like 120 or more, like, unless you're constantly in tier 3 or whatever, we don't even want to deal with you. Maybe they'll lease to us, though, because that seems that's much more in their interest, because they get tax credits from the government, Whereas if we lease them, we get none of that. So you have to buy them in order to get, like, there's like a 30% tax rebate that we would get in, you know, when next time we do our taxes. And there are occasional, like, there's other government tax incentives and rebates if you have solar panels, or if you, I don't know, maybe have a electric have car
the,
or something.
Can you go through the details of those? Do you not know them?
I don't know what they are exactly.
That's your homework for the next show. I want to know.
I definitely know the 30% tax rebate. As far as the other smaller
tax
ones,
tax rebate
I
on the purchase know. Of the panels.
Yeah.
Okay.
So essentially, we get like a free $4,500 off of them when we next do our taxes.
Okay.
So. Anyway, so we're still waiting to hear from another company.
So based on that, is it about 15 grand?
It's about 15 grand for 11 of them. Okay. And so they take about 30% off.
It seems pretty reasonable.
Right. And we have the money to essentially pay them completely off by tax time. So yeah. we'd have to make like 6 monthly payments, and then we would just pay the rest off
when we got
the tax rebate. So we could completely own them and essentially own like 10 years worth of electricity, because we spend about $1,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
then we would just have no bill because we'd be making enough to offset the cost, unless we completely changed how much electricity we used.
Yeah.
And supposedly they don't degrade to the point where they're producing less electricity, like until 20 or 25 years,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they have a 25-year warranty where I think if they degrade like so much, they would just replace them. Or if they just stopped working because of, you know, they were faulty. But if I, like, I'm still trying to find this out, but I don't think, like, if I just threw, like, a rock up there and hit them and it broke it, they wouldn't cover that. Like, I would have to replace that.
Hmm. Yeah, you should find out if they once you add them to your house, if they then become covered under your HO or your homeowner's insurance.
That is another good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Now,
there's a lot of all this research so that I don't have to, because
there's
this
a lot
is
of,
cool.
There's a lot of interesting things that go into it. I mean, it's quite the business now.
Now, if you you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
You can zero out your electric bill, but you can never like produce so much electricity that the electric company will give you money.
Yes.
Correct.
If you produce more than you use, they will give you. They don't. It's not like a dollar to dollar credit, but they do give you some money on top of that for every like extra kilowatt hour you produce
when
over
you
the amount
say
you use.
They give you money.
Like
you
have
mean,
a credit in your account.
You mean, yeah, they credit you for the later right. in the year's
yeah.
bill.
Sure. Yeah, they don't
so,
actually
yeah,
send
so
me money in the bank.
You can zero out your bill across the year, best case scenario. They will never give you money for producing more than you use in aggregate after, you know, for a year.
Yeah, would they ever, at the end of the year, send you a check for all the extra money?
I think they do. I think they actually there is a yearly like settle where you settle up with the electricity with the SDG&E or whoever your company is, and they're like, if you produced 1,000 kilowatt hours this year and you only use 980, then you know we'll settle up and give you money for it because
I
you
don't
gave you more.
Think that ever happens. You can double check that for me.
Or like I said, or maybe they just give it to you as a credit, sort of like Xbox Space Bucks. Like they don't actually send you money, but they're just like, here's some money in your account that you can use towards your next bill.
To me, it's a huge difference, and I think it expires after a year, and I think they never give you cash. They only
well, it is a different because in one case you get money, and in the other case you don't, right? Because if your bill is always zero, then crediting your account for the next time you have a bill is irrelevant.
You know what I
mean?
I'm saying,
like, what if we just sold our solar panels and we no longer were using them, and yet we have $100 credit because we made $100 extra, then now our next bill, if it were $100 without solar panels, it would be free because we had $100
credit.
Yeah,
within a year.
Maybe that's
you know?
True. I don't know. I've never had solar panels,
but
it's another good question.
But my theoretical question is if you installed 25 cells, if you installed
right.
like way more cells
yeah,
than
can,
you
can
will
you,
ever
can you
need.
Can you farm
yeah,
power
they,
is what
they
you're
will
saying.
Never send you checks is, yeah. I think, the
it's,
scenario.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
interesting.
That's the thing that people you get enough to cover yours, and if it's variable,
right.
yeah. they'll give you some credit, but they won't send you money for it. Yes,
right. So basically, if you can zero
but
out,
zero, that's still good.
I'm not saying yeah. that's bad. I'm just yeah. like I just wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
I don't think you can farm it for gold. No,
right.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay, but basically, I'm not sure. if you'd be kind of paying for the next 10 years of electricity up front in one fell swoop. At which point, after 10 years, you'd be getting, like, free use out of it for a while.
Right.
Yeah. So, if it's that smart,
it
like... if it's that easy and smart, that seems like a lot more people would be doing that.
Right, but the thing is that
it's an expensive investment.
Yeah, the main drawback is that it's expensive. Not everybody has $15,000.
The last I heard is that the life of the cells was closer to 10 years.
No,
I didn't know they were lasting 25 years.
Yeah.
So I thought it was like a lot dumber previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right. I'm sure it's the advancement of the cells that's changing.
Because you're right. Because if they only lasted 10 years and you just paid all that up front, then after 10 years, they would die and you would just need to buy them all over again.
Yeah. But if that's the scenario now, that seems super smart. It seems like a lot of people should be doing it as long as they could afford it.
Yep.
It's a really good investment. Like almost instead of putting money in extra investments or retirement accounts, it's like, do this with 15 grand.
I don't think. Well, it's that
I mean,
good,
once
right?
they're paid
it's
off, like, then.
Well, if you're getting
saving
free $1,000
a year,
15
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, there's some ROI, right? So after some number of years, they have paid for themselves. So you'd have to wait until they are. So your investment would be negative and then eventually zero, right? After 10 or 15 years
right.
or however.
Once
like,
you pay them off.
Yeah. So once you pay them off, then they start making you money. And from then on, your investment will be positive. So if you sell the house before then you shouldn't have done it, right? So they're except for the extent to which they raise the resale value of the house.
And that's how you answer that question. Because I was thinking like, yeah, well, why should we pay $15,000 if we're going to leave in 5 years when it's going to take us probably 10 to recoup the investment? And you're right. It's kind of like, yeah, it's resale value. Like people would love, I assume, to pay or to buy a house that already had solar panels and had all this, you know, electricity paid for essentially that they could just move in.
Yeah, but it's like the opposite of a pool. It's like we have this thing on your house that makes you money.
Right.
Yeah, but it also would mean that we could ask for more. And yeah, and maybe some people don't want solar panels. I think
most people would. It's just does it like there's a listing of like the how much certain improvements cost and how much they actually add to the value of the house. And pools are like way negative. They cost way more than they add to your house. Kitchen, I think a kitchen remodel is actually the most cost effective, but none of them actually add more than they cost, right? Even a kitchen remodel is like the closest to being like one-to-one, but it's like...
I don't know. I mean, tell that to house flippers across America because that's all they do.
But a house flipper is like drastically improving a house, right? They're refurbishing, remodeling everything, and they are also counting on appreciation, right? Market appreciation. So
I don't know. It's something we're thinking about, and you know, we haven't made a final decision, but I don't know. We'll see.
Sounds super cool.
That does sound very cool.
And not everybody can even have them, or like I said, or has the money to put down to pay them outright. So I think that's why more people haven't done it. They're still pretty inefficient compared to, you know, dead dinosaurs as far as, you know,
aren't they like 30% or something in terms of...
I think they're still 20-something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it's like the most expensive ones that they send up on satellites or 30.
Yeah, I think each panel itself does like you can get like 225 or 250 watts, but I think they also make some that are even like 300 or something. Uh-huh. I don't know.
So the other thing that I heard was that up until very, very recently, like 2010 or something, all solar cells manufactured ever, like basically produced more carbon to manufacture them in the first place than they ever produced or than they ever reduced in their lifetime for the average electricity production in the States. And at some point, very, very recently, they just barely got efficient enough to manufacture to actually reduce carbon emissions at all, if you were taking into account the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious in the latest research on that, if that's one of your primary motivations.
Yeah, it's a motivation, sure.
It's very cool, though. I've thought about it often, so I'm glad that you're thinking about it seriously.
We'll see.
Yeah, cool.
That's all the news I got.
I don't have any other news, but we can talk about movies and media and stuff.
Cool.
Josh and I saw a movie.
We did.
Pac Rim, right?
We did.
Pacifistic rim.
Rimbunctiousness. We saw robots punching monsters.
Yeah.
That
it
sounds
was basically
cool.
Godzilla or
Rock'em
Neon
Sock'em
Genesis.
Robots.
Yeah, it was Evangelion meets Godzilla, except live action, with like not very good American accents. Like, whoever the main dude is, like, is British or Australian or something, but he's doing an American accent, which is really bad, and you can totally tell that he's not American. I don't know why they chose to do that. Why don't you just, like, everybody else in the movie has an accent. Just have the guy have an
accent.
Which
is very odd, because there's so many, like, British actors and actresses that pull off, like, flawless American
not
accents.
Not this dude. It was not good. But the movie's fun.
It was good.
Yeah.
Am I right in thinking that it's one of those movies that's probably only worth watching on a big screen with friends in a theater kind of a thing?
I think it'll still be cool to watch on a... I mean, it's cool. It's a visual spectacle. I think that definitely the optimal way to see it is going to be in a theater.
Hmm.
Josh and I also saw it at the AMC Mission Valley. No, AMC...
La Jolla.
La Jolla, which has the big super recliner chairs.
Oh, yeah. How is that place?
Like,
is
electrical
it good?
Recliner. It's awesome. It's fucking great.
Rad.
Is it better than... Sinopolis?
No, it's not better, but it's only $13.
So is it like Arclight? Is it like better than Arclight?
It's better than Arclight for sure. Okay. It's 100% better than Arclight, because Arclight is not good.
Yeah, it just
Arclight
pretends
just
to be good, but
a
it's
a regular
not.
Theater that has assigned seats. But it's exactly right, and it has
and
like
a fancy
a bar.
Food
you can
stuff,
pay a lot for a drink.
Yeah.
The seats are very competitive with Sinopolis. They're like nice fake leather recliners.
Cool.
And spread out really far and big old cup holders and whatever. And the sound systems are new and good, I think.
Yeah.
But the screen is pretty small. I think on average that is like a big benefit to me.
It's totally my theater of choice at this point in San Diego.
It's just kind of far northwest, you know.
Right.
But the movie's all right. It was an action-y dumb fun. To me, it's a lot like a Transformers.
Yeah, totally. I only saw the first Transformers, and I never
see,
saw it in
so.
The theater. It's a little less like dumb jokey. I felt like Transformers was trying a little bit more to be funny and goofy.
Yeah, but I thought this was trying too hard. I thought it would have benefited by being more dumb jokey.
That's possible.
I thought it was actually kind of dumb.
It was pretty dumb.
It was dumb because it wasn't trying to be dumb?
No, it was trying too hard to be good.
To be serious.
But just failing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so
it should have tried to be dumb.
Yeah, when a movie tries to be good but just fails miserably, it's often like way worse than it would have been if it admitted it was a shitty action movie and just made super dumb one-liners all the time.
Yeah.
Like White House Down, my summer blockbuster of choice that I recommend. Like, I think it was better than Pet Grimm. And several people have told me that I'm a blasphemer or whatever for saying that.
Yeah. People are going to talk.
Huh. Haters going to hate.
People going to say you blaspheme.
Media Mike?
Her day blaspheming. So I just saw a play today, and I already talked to you guys about it before the podcast, but I'll just reiterate quickly. I don't go to plays very often. I think the last play I saw was the Farnsworth Invention, which is about like the invention of the TV. And it was
Sorkin.
Also Sorkin, right. It was also at the La Jolla Playhouse, which is where we saw this. We saw Sideways. So Sideways is a 2004 book by Rex Pickett, which was turned into an Oscar-winning film with, what's his face?
Thomas Hayden Church and...
And Giamatti, Paul Giamatti.
Giamatti.
So it's two friends. One of them is kind of down on his luck, and the other one is about to get married, and they go on a friendly road trip to wine country, and hilarious and... Also, sad things happen.
I am not drinking Merlot.
Yeah, and that is in the book because that was in the play, and I was waiting for it. They were like at that scene, and I'm like, you better fucking say that. You better say it. It better be in the book, which is what the play feels like it was based on more than the movie. And he said it, and we laughed, and
awesome.
It was all good. So the play, it was more based on the book, which I haven't read. So there were some details that were different. The characterization of Miles, who is Paul Giamatti's character, is quite different. Instead of being like the schlubby,
nebbishy,
kind of pathetic, nebbishy guy, he's more on the pretentious, nerdy, annoying side. Like, I don't know, it was weird. It was a different way to play it, and I'm not sure I like it more or less. I don't know. It's just different. And then there were some other details. There was a boar hunting scene with a supposed psychopath. That was definitely not in the movie. That felt really weirdly out of place in the play. I mean, I guess if you could...
Is that in the book?
I don't know. I haven't read the book. And Robin, who has
hunting?
Read the book, doesn't remember. But I don't know. It was just... It was very weird. I mean, it sort of makes sense in context, but also it just was weird.
That's how Robert Baratheon dies.
Yeah. No, there was no death, though. But it was cool. You know, it was pretty well acted. And, you know, I got...
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
I got
sorry, Game of minus, Thrones listeners. Oh, minus 20 seconds. Shit, people who are still in the middle of season one of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you know, those books came out forever ago at this point. You know, what are you going to do? So it was pretty good. It was interesting. Yeah, the age demographic, I don't know if this is just true of plays or the Loyola Playhouse or the fact that we saw a matinee, but, you know, we were easily bringing down the age average.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody there seemed to be, like, 60s and above. Yeah. And is that just who goes to see plays?
No, it's also, yes, but it's also the choice of play.
Which is weird, because that movie, to me, doesn't feel like that demographic.
Yeah, it does.
It does?
I would like think that something drinkers? That's... no, I think that something that's well, based on a major motion picture would be more liable to draw in a younger crowd than just like random play number 12.
A little bit, but...
Yeah. I mean, I
a
guess...
A movie about like...
I guess the wine
like
drinking? I don't know.
Wine drinking?
I don't know. I don't really see it as like a wine connoisseur's movie. I see it as kind of a...
Kind of making fun of those.
It's... People. Right, and it's, yeah. And it's, you know, it's kind of emotional and hard to watch because the main characters are kind of unlikable a lot of the time, too. So it's... I don't know. You know, it's Alexander Payne. He did About Schmidt, and he did Election, and I don't know. Anyway, that was just something I noted. But yeah, that was cool. And then I mentioned this.
I think Payne is an old people writer. Just my personal opinion.
Hmm. You know? Maybe About Schmidt. I'm with you. I don't know about Election.
Election is about like the oldest high school movie you could possibly make, I think.
I guess I don't know. He also did The Descendants, which I guess also kind of. That's the Clooney Hawaii movie. Yeah.
Anyway, that was just an opinion.
Yeah. And then I finished this a while ago, but I'm not sure whether we ever really talked about it. Orange is the New Black. I don't think I haven't
finished it.
You have?
I have not.
You have not. And
no.
Josh?
No, I'm a six or seven in or something.
Okay. So I'm the only one who's actually
two or three.
Finished the whole thing. I don't know. I really like that show. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's good.
I'm curious to see how much longer it goes season wise, because I really liked Weeds the first couple of seasons, but it's the same creator, and then it kind of went off the reality rails a little bit. So I don't know how that would work in this kind of show, but I hope it doesn't also do that.
I like it enough, but I don't like it enough to watch it for five seasons.
Yeah,
you know, if they keep making it for a while, I'll probably drop out.
There's a natural ending, right? Because she gets out of prison at some point. Like, the story is written.
Not necessarily.
Well, that may not be the ending. That's the thing.
Both things aren't necessarily. Like, she, in a very early episode, she almost got herself, like, 15 more months, you know?
But it's based on a true story of real events of this person's life.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not sure I even knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's a real person.
There's an actual Piper, and it's based on her memoir.
It's based on
time.
Her book of her time in prison.
They could go off the reality rails when they
want
to.
Yeah, they could take it off that. But, yeah. Like, I think these are all, like, kind of actual events, whatever.
You could start following other people or whatever, yeah. You know?
Which is one of the really good things about the show, I think. They do the Lost thing where they do flashbacks of, you know, individual actors... Who you think are ancillary, and the way they're introduced, you have them stereotyped. It's like, oh, this is going to be this person, and this person is going to be totally antagonistic for no reason, whatever. And then you get you go through the backstory of why that person is acting that way, how they ended up in prison, etc. And
none of them are
like caricatures.
Yeah, I like that formula a lot, because if you watch one episode, you might judge it and say all these people are stereotypes, like you're saying. But as soon as you watch two or three, you figure out that every bit character has the potential to be a really interesting, deep character that they might get into shortly.
Yeah, and I think in general, I like all of the characters that aren't the main character more sort of as an aggregate. And I mean, I know that's because they kind of set her up to be kind of unlikable, I think.
No, she's supposed to be us. Right?
I don't think she's unlikable.
She's us.
I don't know.
She's us in that situation.
Well, I think right.
So she's kind of a blank slate. You know, you're just supposed to be.
Well,
how would I be in that scenario?
I don't know. I'm not really sure it's necessary. I mean, yes, in one way, but another way, like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I totally agree that she's supposed to be us. She's definitely a type of person that is not necessarily. I mean, she's us in that what would happen if you or I, who have never gone to jail,
right.
Went to jail, But she also has, I think that's discounting her story, which is way more storied and colorful than most of ours. So
sure.
That's how she doesn't really represent us.
Well, I never ended up in prison also. So maybe being less colorful is potentially
right.
good.
Right. And but I'm saying that she has a more, she's not really like a blank, boring, did nothing with her life character.
Sure, sure.
She has a story, you know.
I don't know exactly who to blame, but I don't think she's a super interesting character. Maybe actress, but maybe it's just the writing.
Maybe that's what I mean when I say
like,
unlikable.
I never thought of her as like a intentional blank slate, mm-hmm. you know, stand-in for the viewer, which makes sense, and maybe that's what they're going for, and maybe that's why I feel that way.
I think
just like in yeah. you know, my opinion of some RPGs where you know the first person doesn't say anything, it's supposed to be a stand-in, you mm-hmm. know, and I kind of have a distaste for those. I think she's just kind of boring and not a super interesting character, and that's one of my only criticisms with the show, because I really like it.
And the unlikable thing comes from that there are many points in the show where she says and does things that are just they're just like annoying. And I'm like, most normal people who got put into this, well, I don't know, I would think if I were in that situation, I would like adapt a little faster, mm-hmm. but she's like very, I am this way. And that's where like the friction comes from. Like mm-hmm. I am this kind of type of person, and now I'm put into prison with these other types of people. And that's where the friction comes from, rather than me being, okay, I'm this type of person. Ooh, but now I'm in prison. I should probably like fucking learn to adapt like mm-hmm. as soon as possible. And she doesn't do that. She continues to be
who she
is. I've
only watched it for 3 episodes, so maybe I will end up feeling that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, keep watching it. I think it's more, there's more to it than that, but it's very good. I finished it. I love the whole thing. I can't wait for more.
Yeah, Netflix doing another good job.
Yeah.
They get to do some
quality
stuff.
Programming.
They just had some announcements of some new ones too that seem impressive that I hadn't heard of, and I cool. forgot what they are.
Nah.
So impressive.
I know.
Can't remember them.
All right. Are you ready for some movies?
Let's do it. Do some movies.
Okay, I don't remember exactly where I left off, so tell me if I already mentioned RIPD, The Conjuring, and Red 2.
No.
Okay, then that's where I'm starting off. RIPD. This is like a total Men in Black ripoff, starring Jeff Bridges and not Ryan Gosling. That Val Kilmer, that Van Wilder guy.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, yeah,
that guy.
Yeah. We know who you're talking about.
Yeah, this movie is not good. It is like I didn't love
Ryan
Men
Reynolds.
In Black.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. I didn't love Men in Black, and this is worse than Men in Black.
Men in Black is great, man. Come on.
It's all right.
It's classic,
which
cheesy,
is why I thought this might be all right.
That's the Men in... That's
but
the Men in...
This is,
it's got a talking pug, dude.
This is like the perfect example of a movie that should have embraced more dumb one-liners. Mm. Like the movie is really dumb and full of just absurd special effects, high budget, you know, looks kind of cool. But it's just not funny. There aren't enough funny one-liners. There's all these opportunities for them, too. Like, there's all these moments where, you're, like, shit is happening, and then they cut to somebody's face, and you're like, he's going to give a dumb one-liner, you know? And mm-hmm. then he doesn't, or he says something that isn't even trying. Like, this needed 3 more passes on the script by someone remotely funny. Like, it was bad. It was bad as 2.
Is it aliens? Like, what's the general...
The general gist is that when you die, or Ryan Reynolds, this is not a spoiler because it's in the, it's like beginning
in
of
the trailer,
trailer
yeah.
you know, Ryan Reynolds dies real fast, and then, they recruit him, at the gates
post-death.
Of heaven,
uh-huh.
pre-gates of heaven, to go back to Earth and become like a death cop, like an RIPD officer,
rest in peace department,
to basically arrest, dead people that should have gone to hell.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever, but are staying on Earth when they shouldn't be.
Okay.
They've escaped the system. There's so much bureaucracy in the afterlife.
Gotcha.
That some people have escaped their due process, is the gist. So, yeah, they're all like weird dead creatures, kind of alien-y.
Okay.
Anyway, The Conjuring. This... is
oh wait, what would you give RIPD?
2.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. The Conjuring, surprisingly good. Like, it's a dumb scary movie, but it's actually pretty scary. And it has several moments that are just, you know, jump scares or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few jump scares, but there was quite a few just, I was constantly, you know, nerves or whatever, yeah. You know?
What time of day did you watch it at? Did you watch it at night?
Yeah, in the evening with two friends, actually. Yeah. At least. Yeah,
and
two.
Lights on or off?
In the theater.
Oh, in the theater. Okay.
These are mostly theater movies.
Oh, okay.
Russ and I made fun of this one because the trailer is hilarious. We call it the clapper because we just could not take the trailer seriously because like it was a ghost clapping near their ears or something, you know, but in the movie, the movie's pretty cheesy, but it executes on the scary part really, really well. It was like one of the most enjoyable scary movies I'd ever seen. It wasn't super gory or anything.
Who's in that?
It was kind of like an old school scary, like Poltergeist or something.
Yeah.
Or you know, with The Exorcist or something, yeah. But not super like not vomit everywhere. I don't know the names of the folks.
So they're not big stars.
The primary lady is from Bates Motel. She's the mom. It's like, oh. So, I mean, I recognize
from
her
from Psycho.
There's an actual movie called
Bates Motel that is Psycho based.
Based on Bates.
Yeah.
No.
And then the guy I recognize from some off something too. Hmm. Oh, you know what? The wife is totally awesome. I forgot her name. But she's like a awesome character actress from a bunch of things.
I know who you're talking about.
She's a sweet little lady. Oh, I forget her. I don't know any of their names. Anyway.
Nice.
Four. That was a good one.
Okay.
Red 2. Terrible.
Yeah.
Red 2?
Yeah.
What was Red 1?
Yeah.
It was retired...
ectoplasm dinosaur?
I really hope
it's that.
Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren. It's like all these...
Oh, uh-huh. Yes, retired... Okay, yeah.
It was like that. Senior... There's like everybody who was part of the Cold War espionage apparatus who then got old and retired. They had to pull out of retirement for one
last
reason
job.
Or another. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was trying to be funny, and I just didn't like its humor.
Hmm.
It just didn't mesh with me. It was not funny. I didn't like it. And the action was all right, but whatever. It's kind of dumb.
So is that a two?
Two.
Then?
Yeah. Fruitvale Station. Mm-hmm. This is based on actual event in 2009 at a BART station, you know, in the Bay Area.
Oakland.
There you go.
Yep.
I didn't know the real story. It's a documentary style one of those like day in the life of this family and this guy, and pretty dramatic, quite good for The To-Do List, Aubrey Plaza comedy. I've heard it described as the female Superbad.
I'm guessing it's not.
It was actually pretty funny.
Okay.
I mean, I thought Superbad was super funny, and I thought this was pretty funny. It's got a bunch of people in it that I like. Bill Hader. And it was mostly a long sex joke, you know? It was like sexually explicit jokes the whole time.
Right. Isn't it just about her like wanting to have sex and going through the whole movie figuring out how to do that or something or
pretty
do it
much.
Right?
Yeah, she's like a goody two-shoes in high school.
Yeah. Okay.
And her friends tell her she needs to be sexually experienced before college.
Right.
So she makes that her summer mission.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw I guess the movie was much funnier than the preview because the trailer made it look kind of dumb funny. Like,
yeah.
Like not that funny.
Yeah. It wasn't that funny.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty funny, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Three?
Four. I liked it. I gave it a four.
Oh.
Maybe a three. Somewhere. But, you know.
Okay.
Forgot to choose.
High
I
three.
Gave it a four. Yeah. Two Guns.
You saw Two Guns, huh?
Yes, a lot of shit. I mean, did you think that looked shitty? I thought it looked better than
other
shit I've
it
seen
just
recently.
Looked, it looked totally average.
I'm seeing totally average is what I'm doing.
Okay.
Denzel Washington, Mark Wahlberg.
They each have a gun, I assume.
Thus, at least together,
they each have more than one gun.
They make dose guns.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. I liked it.
There may have been more guns. I gave it
a three.
Let me guess, they don't like each other at the beginning, but by the end, they have a grudging mutual respect.
I mean, I liked it more than I expected.
Oh, did you see it too?
This is totally untread territory. No one has ever explored these depths.
So brave.
I think it's a graphic novel. I think Two Guns is a comic book. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I believe so.
Yeah, nice. Wolverine.
The Wolverine, yes.
I was disappointed.
I think critics were, too.
I think it was fine. I gave it a 3, but it wasn't as good as I had hoped, because I like the X-Men movies more. You know,
well, why wasn't it good, though? I'm curious. Like, what did it do wrong that,
it
like,
didn't really
X-Men
do anything
right?
wrong. I still liked it. It just wasn't any good.
So you liked things that are not good, is what you're telling me?
It wasn't super.
You said it
good.
Wasn't that good.
It wasn't.
Well, it's a serious question. Like, I'm really curious. Like, what makes it a made it a 3?
The better question is, what made the X-Men movies
yes.
better?
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
And the X-Men movies had like a shit ton of cool people in them, and X-Men was like only Wolverine.
Like, you mean the Wolverine was just Wolverine?
Oh yeah. Did I say that wrong? Yeah, yes. Yeah. Wolverine was only Wolverine.
So it didn't have enough awesome. It needed more awesome.
Yeah, it needed more. The support characters, you know, were
that's why like I've never seen. Interesting. The Hulk movies or the Thor movie.
Me, yeah, exactly.
But Avengers was good. I definitely went and saw Avengers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. it needed
Yeah, why did you need to see those movies when they were in the Avengers?
Right. It needed a way bigger cast. I mean, Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine is not interesting enough to hold up a whole movie, in my opinion.
The other thing that's weird about that is Hugh Jackman is fucking ripped. Hugh Jackman has the body of like a 22-year-old middle linebacker. Yeah. It's unbelievable. The dude's like approaching 50, or he's like over 45. Like the cycles of steroids that those movie actors must be on. He got to be unbelievable.
He actually posted a picture to Reddit like a week or two ago, and it was of him like weightlifting, and with the caption like, if it doesn't bend, then you must be pretending.
You're not trying.
Or something like that. If the bar doesn't bend, then you must be pretend or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, fucking, he was roided, like, fuck out, man. Or something.
It's weird. It's weird seeing all those old dudes like Stallone and Schwarzenegger. I mean, those guys are definitely juicing. Not that they shouldn't be necessarily, like, there's no competition committee for movie actors, but still, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Way, Way Back, this was like from the makers of Little Miss Sunshine. I like
pedigree.
It.
From the people that brought you Little Miss Sunshine.
I didn't think it was as good as that, but I liked it. I thought it was quite good. I give it a 4. It was mostly about this awkward boy and, you know, family troubles and whatever.
Cool.
The guy who was in Moon.
Yes.
What's that guy?
Still have to see Moon.
Didn't we watch it together?
No, we all watched it.
No, I did
not
watch
there?
It with you.
Oh,
what's the guy's name?
Fuck. Rockwell. Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. Sam Rockwell was in it, and he's like the mentor, and he's fucking rad. He's so good. I love Sam Rockwell.
I like him. He's good.
Elysium.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was all right. I liked it. It wasn't as good as District 9, but it was still good. It was a little dumb here and there, but I liked it quite a bit. So
budgets fuck everything up.
Somewhere between a 3 and a 4.
When you're like trying to scrimp by on a smaller budget, like almost invariably movies are better.
Yeah.
What is that?
I mean, I like Jodie Foster, but her character is a little weird too.
Uh-huh.
That was like she's trying to do this funny accent and be all hard ass, but not really.
Yeah.
It was weird. She's been way harder ass than that in other movies. You know. Anyway,
you heard it out of the
loved her
of
in
babes.
Contact.
Anyway, somewhere between a 3 or 4, but I give it a 4. It's still fun. Jack the Giant Slayer. This is a slightly older one. You know, Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah.
You know, it's that.
Oh, okay.
It was a fun family movie.
So it's animated then?
No.
Oh, it was live action?
Live action.
Okay.
Starring that guy from Warm Bodies, who is also on Skins, this British kid who's handsome.
Sorry, I don't know that one. I've been hitting... But I don't know.
All right.
I don't know British.
I'm not telling you, you need to come up with his name.
No, but I'm trying. I'm trying to.
You've seen his picture on the Warm Bodies poster, so, you know. I liked it quite a bit. It's fun. It for a family movie.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I thought it was more like dark action-y, like Hansel and Gretel style.
You're right. It was a little violent. I mean, it's for a 13-year-old family movie, I guess.
Okay.
You know, yeah, it was pretty violent. They're throwing bodies around. Big giant.
Yeah, it's R-rated, basically.
Big giants, like smacking bodies around, but with no blood. You know, for some reason, it wasn't nearly as disturbing as World War Z, even though it was, like, the bloodless, blunt melee combat sort of situation, you know.
Yeah.
And it was
those
totally...
rules are so asinine. God.
It was totally just a fairy tale story.
Cool.
Okay, it's a 3.
We nice. Talked you down.
I'm glad you talked yourself out of your own rating.
I don't know why I got a 4 now that I describe it.
I don't. Yeah, you give a lot of these movies 4s that you don't seem that excited about.
Well, I don't think about the. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway,
No, this is canon, man. Get
the harsh
right.
light of day.
Sometimes I just try to do my first instinct and not overthink it. All right, we're the Millers.
That looked dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Jennifer Aniston and David Sudeikis.
It got some laughs out of me.
Or Jason Sudeikis.
So it gets a 3.
Okay.
It wasn't super great.
Throw it a bone.
It's kind of funny.
Is this basically like Meet the Fockers kind of thing?
No.
No?
It's like a fake family.
Is it Sudeikis?
It's Sudeikis.
I like Sudeikis.
It's
decent
Sudeikis,
amount.
Yeah.
So Sudeikis is like Sudeikis. a middle-aged pot dealer, just but very, very nonchalant, just to, you know, some business corporate clients and moms and as clients and stuff like that, you know, weeds-esque, except he's single. And he gets in a little hot water, and then he gets basically forced into, recruited to smuggle a huge quantity of weed in from Mexico. And so he has to make a pseudo family out of...
Oh.
Out of Jennifer Aniston is a local stripper.
Okay.
That is like a lives in his building, and this you know, really shy virgin teenager guy as his son, and this runaway like hard ass girl as his daughter, and they all pretend to be a family and smuggle a bunch of pot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty run of the mill storyline there.
It's all right. It's all right. Okay, and this one was a little weird. Spring Breakers. You guys know that one?
Oh, yes. God. You saw that, huh?
Yeah.
You know, that looked like a movie based on
spring
reviews
break.
that looked
spring
stupid,
break.
But was deeper than it looked.
If you know nothing about it except its poster, then that's a really bad...
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to sell it in one way, it seems.
They really weren't.
It's Harmony Korine.
If you'd ever seen a trailer or anything, if you know anything about it besides the poster, it's very obviously darker and more serious than. It's not meant for 14-year-old girls.
Oh well, I didn't think it was.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's dark and serious, but
it's seedy.
But it is weird. It is definitely.
Is it interesting?
I don't think anyone's meant to like it.
Right.
Like, I think it was designed to be distasteful the whole time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And isn't that, like, a reason why you normally don't like a movie? Because you don't like anyone in it?
A lot of movies that do that, in general, I personally don't like, yes.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I had flashbacks to, you know, like, when I saw Son of Sam or, you know, even though it's not super violent, you know, it has that, like, these are criminals, these are morally depraved people, you know, doing things. So, yeah, I had some distaste. So I had mixed feelings about it. You can tell it's very well executed with what they were trying to do. Like, the cinematography is super interesting. That's hilarious. Because there's so many... There's so much TNA. Like, I didn't mean it that way. Like, the...
Can't spell cinematography without TNA.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. No, but it's like really colorful. Like the
I don't know why that just sounds so silly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of colors, man.
Anyway,
boobs, am I right, guys?
A certain percent of it.
So
like,
5 boobs.
Like 20 to 30% of the movie is like intentionally overly exploitative, like just sex scenes or whatever. Not sex scenes, but like.
Sexy scenes.
Sexy on the screen,
right?
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like a music video. Literally, it's one of those movies where most of it is just montages.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? It's just
walking slowly through a club.
Like very little dialogue for a long periods of time.
A gun tucked into a waistband.
This and then this and then this.
Lasers.
And there's...
Boobs.
And there's a whole like 30-minute like spring break montage at the beginning that's just... So painful. It's
like a really bad music video
just
that never
drinking
stops.
Drinking and drugs and, and, you know, sex and, like, young people on the beach being idiots. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly that new Lonely Island video. You see that one? Spring Break?
Nope.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Oh, I recommend that way more than this movie. Let's go watch that.
Nice.
Anyway, I think it's really well executed, even though I have mixed feelings, so I don't know what to give it.
The director's Harmony Korine,
yes.
who directed Kids and a number of other, like, intentionally provocative...
I don't think she wants you to like it. You know,
which is weird with a name like Harmony.
It's one of those movies with criminals or, you know, morally depraved people.
Well,
James Franco's in it, and he's interesting, but... And I think he does really good in the role. The problem is I love James Franco so much. He's so endearing. He's such a just like a cuddly guy to me that like him as this depraved criminal isn't super believable to me, even though he does a great job.
So I'm curious, like, is there no overarching message? It's just sort of like, here's a group of people and they do depraved things.
The message is
that's what's happening.
Like the vacuous moral depravity of youth or something.
I think it was more, it was almost more like a concept that they wrote a movie around. It was like, I'm going to get like four Disney princesses who are all part of the Mickey Mouse Club. And I'm going to put them in this movie and show their boobs. And, it's going to be about sex and drugs. And like, ooh, look what I did.
Yeah, the meta story of it was almost more of the plot of the movie than the actual plot of the movie. Like, that's what I was thinking the whole time.
What will people think when I do this?
Is these young like Disney actresses and James Franco, to some extent, is the exact same thing to me. You know, he's like a lovable guy, right? And they're all playing these depraved people for no good reason with not much plot.
Money.
You know?
For money, probably.
So it's interesting and well executed, but not super great.
So would you recommend it?
Not really, but I'd still kind of give it a 4. So I don't know.
Definitely don't go see it in theater, but if it comes on...
Like watch it on
Netflix. It's already in Redbox.
Okay. If it's on HBO or something, go check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, weird. That's it. All right.
That's it?
Yeah, let's go watch that Spring Break Lonely Island.
All right.
That's just funny.
All right, we'll queue it up. All right, can we do games now?
No, because I watched a movie.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I watched a documentary called Coast Modern, which is about architecture, which is just sort of an interest of mine. This is about the West Coast interpretation of modernism as an architectural style, which is just great. It's really beautifully shot. It starts out with somebody saying that modernism is a beautiful failure because you can't call something a success when 90% of people don't want to live in a modernist house, but it's just, I don't know. It's just really beautiful. If you're interested in thinking about space and architecture and it's just really good. There's not much more to say than that. If that sounds interesting, you should check it out. And then, I started watching the season of Luther that Josh recommended. That show's fucking great. I cannot recommend that show highly enough. I think it's my second favorite show behind The Wire.
Even
and
though
it's like on par with The Wire in terms of like the quality of the acting. I think The Wire's just edges it very slightly because it's like 100% real. Like the showrunner of The Wire was a Baltimore Sun reporter for 30 years, and the co-showrunner was a Baltimore homicide detective. So it's like 100% authentic. And Luther is a little bit more fantastical and a little bit more fantastical is the wrong word, but it's more written, but it's fucking amazing.
It's also denser and more accessible.
Yeah.
Like there's only 4 episodes a season.
Yeah.
And each episode is almost like a movie.
Very much
and
so.
And I think they're way accessible. I think a lot of people would love it compared to The Wire.
Yeah.
Which is a lot harder.
The Wire is harder to watch because it's like, this is actually what's happening in the part of America that I don't inhabit. Yeah. And you just feel horrible.
I've only watched 2 out of the 4, but they're so good. It's almost like 2 more movies on my plate. You know, I just haven't. I'm kind of like saving them, you know.
I think the first one was better, but the second one's fucking scary. You talk about a scary movie. Like, I was on the edge of my seat watching that second episode of the most recent season 3. Anyway, it's great. The cinematography is outstanding. The show looks incredible. I think that the BBC just have a huge, amazing talent pool or something, because like Top Gear, particularly Top Gear and Luther, both look amazing. Sherlock looks really good. But they just, I don't know, they photograph people in just amazing ways that you definitely don't see on Law & Order or whatever. I don't know. It's just great. I love that show. It's awesome.
Totally.
Yeah. You watch anything else, Mike?
Mm-mm.
Games. Oh, I have one more piece of media. Sorry. This is good. This is, do you know the stand-up Tig Notaro?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This American Life. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, she's pretty funny.
She's very funny. she has a stand-up. She performed what has been called by no less a personage than Louis C.K. the best stand-up comedy performance of all time.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Wow, even above his like personal mentor George Carlin.
There's one. No, it's a particular performance.
One performance.
It's called Tig Notaro Live.
And then he sold it on his website.
Right. That was the one where she basically talked about having
cancer.
Don't
spoiler it.
Oh come on, that's not a spoiler.
Anyway, it's like phenomenal. Anyway. I'm saying you should go listen to it. It's absolutely. I mean, it's $5. So he was at the performance, and Ed Helms and a few other people were doing a show. She showed up and gave this the stand-up performance, which I had heard about in a number of places. It's really phenomenal. It's just totally walking this like knife edge between feeling, you know, as you listen, you just experience a huge number of different emotions as you listen to it, and it's super hilarious and amazingly funny, and also
really, really
heartbreaking
intense.
And super intense. Yeah, it's great, and it's $5 to go buy on Louis nice. C.K.'s website.
Yeah, love it. Highly recommend it.
Totes.
Yes, and yeah, called Live, not Live, even though that doesn't make a difference, but that's still funny.
Cool.
Okay, games.
Games. Talking about games now.
Yeah, we pretty much only played Rogue Legacy. So what'd, yeah. What'd you play, Mike?
Well, I played a game that you guys can't play yet, at least on your chosen systems. What? But
I played that shit.
Right, but you can't play it on your chosen systems, which is because it's an iPhone game, and it's called Pivot. And I did talk about it on the last show, but it was not out yet. But it came out on August 1st. It's from Whitaker Trebella. He made the iOS game Polymer, which is also a puzzle game. This game, though, is like kind of equal parts. Super Hexagon, a little Impossible Road. I don't know. He named some other one that it's like, but it's probably most like Super Hexagon in terms of just like the gameplay. It's very simple. You have a ball, and it can rotate around 360 degrees as it travels along a line, and there are obstacles, and you must pivot out of the way to not hit them. And
this was the first time I'd ever heard of the term avoidance game. Like, as a genre, this is an avoidance game.
Right. Which I mean, obviously Super Hexagon came out before, and it, I think, is maybe the most
popular
one.
I think
one.
Super Hexagon probably defined,
yeah,
or at least
popularized.
Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, shmups could almost all be called,
yeah,
avoidance
that's
games
true.
If you don't shoot.
Right.
Right? I mean, bullet hell games.
Or yeah. Pacifism in Geometry uh-huh. Wars is an avoidance game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the first game that has done it, but it's definitely one of the most well-polished ones. I think the design is really good. It's simple, but
Pac-Man.
You know, the colors and the design and just the shapes, and I don't know, and it flows very well. You know, I don't know. It's much like Super Hexagon in that it's immediately easy to pick up and start playing, but very difficult to master and get really good at. But compared to Super Hexagon, it's much more accessible in four of its five modes. So there's two main modes. There's Voyage, which is essentially the training mode and introduces you to the different obstacles that you have to avoid. And then there's the Endless mode, which is essentially getting through a whole track of each one of those obstacles and trying to do that as long as you possibly can. And then there's Expert Voyage, which is much like Voyage except all different kinds of obstacles, and then Expert Endless, which is the same thing as Endless, just with those obstacles. Then, and only then, if you can beat all of those modes, which Expert Endless definitely took me quite a while to get it, because you have to be able to last 100 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but if you've ever played Super Hexagon, you know that's a long freaking time. It unlocks Berserk mode, which is essentially the fastest mode, and the mode that my record so far is 9 seconds, whereas my other ones, you know, are anywhere from 50 to 120. So it's very quick and very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say is at least as, if not more, difficult than Hexagonist, which is the third of three base hexagon difficulty modes, mm-hmm, without unlocking the other ones. So if you're not good at Super Hexagon, like me, then this was your jam, because it definitely got me the same kind of gameplay, but I could actually beat it. And you can also share replays. So if you do, I don't know if you can easily do that.
That's cool.
With Super Hexagon. So basically, if you get a good run, there is a button and you can hit play and you can watch a replay and then you can share that on like camcord.com. So you can then link it or tweet it or Facebook it, whatever. So that's kind of neat.
I wish more games did the kind of in-engine replay sharing because sharing shit as video files is dumb when all this stuff is a set of control inputs. For example,
you just
Dota
want, like, sheet music essentially to your performance.
Yeah,
well, it's more coding work though.
The replay file. Yeah, you need to build it in, but like Dota 2, the Valve software, has an amazing set of like spectator features. So you can spectate a map it makes total sense, right? They like put huge amounts of resources into optimizing the netcode to make these games play well online. And so it's much easier to, rather than streaming it on Twitch as video files, which are huge, right? You can just load up the client and then connect and watch the game. And all they have to send you is the audio of the announcers, you know, talking about it. But the game is just being played out and rendered in-engine on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
it's super smart. I wish more games did that.
That does seem more ideal. But like you said, Josh, it's more coding.
It has ups and downs. Then it forces your user to install the client and run it just to watch a video of it, you know. There are benefits, advantages and disadvantages of that. I mean, if you have a gaming rig, then you can watch it at perfect 1080p and do more advanced interactive features, like change the view, you know. But but if it's on YouTube, then you know it's way more accessible,
but you don't have to wait for it to be uploaded to YouTube. Anyway,
so it's a really sweet game. It's only on iOS right now as a universal app, but he is working on it for Android. So
yeah, I played for 5 minutes. I agree that it's a fantastic game. It's almost identical to Super Hexagon, except, you know, kind of a different gameplay bit, and it's got a little bit more variety, and it's got more modes that start off easier, so it's more accessible. Yeah,
and he's also the creator is, when the Android version comes out, he will also be pushing an update to the iPhone or the iOS version, which will have even more gameplay types and other various features. So I'm
and it's PIVVIT, right?
PIVVOT. Yep.
OT.
Pivota.
Yes. Pivot with an extra V. And then, so that's a game that I figured you guys would definitely enjoy playing. Another game that came out, which you probably don't give a shit about, but I love, was a Kickstarter game, Shadowrun Returns, that came out like July 25th, I think. So I've been playing it for off and on for a couple weeks. I think it's actually the first Kickstarted game that I have helped fund that actually came out. So that worked out fine. It works in Steam. They also give you a DRM-free version of it, and you know the saves transfer between Mac and Windows, which I've actually had to play around with because I had some issues with the save file where the game crashed at some point, and I lost like 2.5 hours of gameplay and could not get it back until I downloaded a utility that some user on a forum made that essentially can edit save files so that I could fix something in it that would make it usable again, which is kind of bullshit and made me stop playing it for about a week until I could figure that out. But I really like it. If you've ever played the original Shadowrun for Super Nintendo, it's kind of like an overhead isometric RPG tactical shooter game. So sort of an XCOM light, I would say. You know, turn-based combat. You know, you talk to guys and you buy equipment and then you go out on runs and you know, do a tactical fighting. I think the art is really good, and I actually think the writing is above average for just games in general. Like, it's actually really, you know, interesting to read. You actually want to, like, read the dialogue that people are saying, and every level that you go into has, like, a couple paragraphs of description. I want more. Like, I wish there was more description of stuff. Like, I want to look at something.
You want the codex for Shadowrun
Returns. And get description. It's just, I mean, it's when it's well written, much like the Penny Arcade games, their fatal flaw is that they hold on to this old school RPG model, which is not really fun anymore. But the writing is exemplary.
Uh-huh.
This game, not as good as that as Penny Arcade, but definitely up there. And it's just nice because they could have skimped on that, but I guess that probably would have sucked big time because the game kind of heavily relies on that. They're like, there's no voice acting. It's all text. Mm-hmm. So it better be damn interesting. Yeah. And it is. So
cool. Now, real quick, I dig it. I forgot, but I thought you didn't really get into the XCOM gameplay. Was that true?
No, I just played the demo.
And did you think like maybe that's playable sometime?
No, I think XCOM is actually quite good. And I think the combat is
okay. So it's kind
quite
of
good. Yeah.
It might be on your list.
Maybe. Well, yeah, I thought for a second about buying it on iPad because I think that's a perfect place to put that kind of game. Even this game actually feels like it would work perfectly on a tablet.
No.
So if you like that kind of game, I think you would dig this game.
Yeah, I know Charles super digs XCOM and it got rave reviews, so I assume you'd really like it.
Yeah. It's just one of many games I haven't got around to. So anyway, that's cool. You can still buy it on Steam right now for like 15, 20 bucks and it's cross-platform, so.
Cool.
Cool.
Yep. Those are all my games.
Real quick, I played this free-to-play game called Path of Exile a little bit.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Almost exactly like Diablo 3,
mm-hmm.
except completely free. Runs on PC. I don't know if also Mac, you could check. And it's got a more detailed skill tree system.
Mm-hmm.
So when you very first start the game, you feel super, super weak, unlike Diablo. But then you start to get some gear and abilities, and then you start to get like a lot of sweet abilities mm-hmm. with a lot of customization. And so it gets pretty awesome and it's really, really polished and well done, more like Diablo than Torchlight. You know, the graphics look real cool and lots of cool abilities and classes. Nice. And so I highly recommend it if you want one of those free to play, PC top down, click and kill, grind, loot. Ability level up nice. Dungeon games
cool
and then aside from that Charles and I played a lot of Rogue Legacy.
Yep, we did.
What's Rogue Legacy, Charles?
Well, we talked about it last time on the show.
Did we
kind of describe the whole thing? Yeah. So
okay,
and
so
I said that
left?
I loved it, so you could talk about
what did we talk about it?
Yeah, had I not played it at that time?
You had not played it.
So what do you think about it?
Okay, basically I think it's like really, really fun. It's it's Castlevania style combat, melee weapon combat, all those Castlevanias.
Mm-hmm.
You're jumping around. It's pretty darn hard. You know, you're jumping around avoiding spikes and landing carefully on platforms and very, very fucking carefully downward thrusting on mm-hmm. on disappearing platforms in order to make them appear for like 2 seconds, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, nails hard, Castlevania-style combat, except the dungeons are randomly generated, so every time you start
I think it's dungerated.
Yeah. So every time you start, it's a whole fucking new castle, and if you ever played those types of Castlevania games and loved them, but one of the primary flaws is, like, you get through the whole castle, and then you want more content, and there isn't any. You know, one of the reasons I loved the XBLA version called Castlevania HD or something like that,
mm-hmm.
was that it was designed to be these replayable 5 levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the same level over and over, but it was very, very replayable with co-op and stuff. It was super fun. And I'm surprised, like, none of you guys ever got into it. I think Charles would really dig it.
Yeah, I never tried it.
But this is, like, you know, it's got that appeal and in random dungeon every time, so that's rad. And it's tons of progression, even though it's a roguelike, because every time you die, you get enough gold to basically upgrade some abilities.
Yeah, they call it a rogue light, which is a cute little term for highly progression
based roguelike.
And they do have a mechanic where you can lock the castle, so if you play through it and you either found a boss and you want to practice against that boss, or you liked the layout and you like cleared out a whole section so you want to go to a new section, then your next playthrough you can pay the architect to lock the castle into one place. One into that same zone, and you only get 60% of the gold. Like he takes 40% of your gold as a fee, but then you can play that same layout.
But if you're just trying to farm a boss, you know, 10 tries in a row, then it doesn't matter. You're taking a money cut.
If you're just practicing,
you just want to go straight to the boss 10 times in a row and try to beat him, you know? I like it a lot. It's it ends up being a bit grindy, you know?
It does, definitely.
So I put 13 or 14 hours into it, and I'm only maybe halfway through,
or what,
or less.
If it's a roguelike,
there's basically 4 areas.
Yeah,
and I've beaten the first 2 areas bosses.
Oh, so if you beat all four bosses, you've beaten the game?
If you beat all four bosses, there is a final boss, and I guess maybe that's the end.
Oh.
I think so, yeah.
That doesn't seem very roguelike.
There's, I thought the whole point of roguelike was there is no ending. It's not a roguelike, right? No. If it was a roguelike, you die and you start again.
Right.
And there's no progression, there's no leveling, there's no nothing. Mm. Theoretically, what's happening is it's the rogue legacy, right? You're passing on a legacy to your heirs. So that was what I talked about with the kind of inheritance thing. Mm. So
it's
you
Infinity
make some money.
Blade-ish.
Yeah.
Infinity Blade has an end, I assume, a final boss?
It does have the boss that you kill. But yeah. I think the game goes on even after that.
So maybe this does too?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, the Infinity Blade goes on after that because you kill that boss and then you become the God King and then a new person challenges you.
Yeah, we don't know what happens at the end of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot this is just Windows, right?
It's Steam Windows right now, but
But it would definitely run on a virtual PC.
Yeah.
And it would go great on other platforms if he ports it.
Yeah. It
sounds XBLA. Ish.
I think Charles is right about Vita. It would be really good on the Vita.
Yeah.
Or anything with the controller.
Anything, yeah. But definitely needs a controller because it's like super tight platforming challenge.
Cool.
So
I remember when I very first started, I fucking hated it because it was so hard. But then very, very quickly, I got pretty good at the tight combat.
Yeah. You get a few key upgrades. I mean, one of the things is all the movement capabilities are these runes that you have to find in the castle and then equip. So like there's a dash forward and a dash back, but you have to find those as runes and have them equipped. There's a double jump. You have to find that. You can stack double jump runes because there's a rune for your cape and a rune for your bracers and a rune for your sword. And so you can end up with like four air jumps, right? If you stacked a huge number of them. So yeah, you have to get that and you can kind of build out based on the class that you're specking as. And
yeah, you can change all the time, but I mostly didn't use any of those.
Yeah.
I mostly used just a bunch of money upgrades instead.
Yeah.
So I was just getting mad cash, but I only had one jump, but I liked that better because you know, whatever.
I
rotated
that jump.
I changed stuff.
Jump was good.
Yeah.
That's good. Cool. Jump.
Man, the triple jump is pretty awesome. But then also like making 30 to 50% more cash every round is also pretty fucking awesome.
I basically spec'd the slide, the jump, and then as much gold stuff as I could.
I love the vampirism. I can't go without like several vampirisms.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you gen health every hit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
One of the hardest characters, but one of my favorite because there's also classes. You try a different class every time, is the Lich.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think a lot of people hate. I read a couple of reviews.
Yeah.
But I had my best runs as the Lich, who starts as like very low health and mana, but you steadily permanently increase your health and mana.
With every character kill.
If you can
just
stay
like
alive.
Real liches.
Yep. Right. And then you can swap all the health that you have earned into permanent mana and then gen more health and swap it into permanent mana and gen more health.
And they have pretty high attack and spell power.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the spell sword is my favorite class.
Spell sword's pretty rad.
Yeah.
It's like serious mana drain.
Yeah.
Every hit you gen some mana. The Lich with the birds, with the crows.
Yeah, the crows.
Is my epic build. Mm-hmm. If I can stay alive as that for a little while by using crows early, you just become unstoppable. And I had my absurdly long runs with the Lich with the crows.
Mm-hmm. I had my absurdly long ones with giant Hokage because you have like crazy good damage and you have the range from being big. So your sword, one of the traits is you can be like, you can have gigantism. And so you're like 4x the size of the normal character model. And which means your sword stroke is that big too. No real reason why your sword should be big if you're big, but whatever, like it's
just
big.
Go with it.
And so yeah, you can totally, you do that character can't crit but does really high standard damage, and so you're like one-shotting everything through like the kind of two easier sections of the castle.
I think the Hokage is like everybody's favorite class early game,
but
I think it's bad late game because as soon as you take Hokages into bullet hell rooms, you just die. Like you don't have enough health.
Yeah.
And you don't, and if you don't have like that birds or something like that, and if you don't have a lot of health, you have no way to survive in those bullet hell rooms.
Yep.
Like so that's a good character, but it's not like one of my crazy run characters. Yeah.
So I also played Brothers,
which is the first game from the Summer of Arcade. Have you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, but I'm waiting until it comes to Steam, just because.
Interesting.
I'm kind of done buying things on the Xbox if I can avoid it.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I bought
something. Is it coming to Steam soon? It's going to be exclusive.
I think September 3rd or something.
Okay.
I think super soon.
Yeah, didn't Penny Arcade just talk about this?
Several things did. It got great reviews.
Yeah, okay.
It's
like a one-player co-op game or something.
Yeah.
This game, how they build it. So, yes. Saying anything about this game spoils it.
Basically, I don't want to know anything about it.
So I will only explain the mechanic. So other than explaining the mechanic, all I will say is the game is 9.5 out of 10. It's fucking excellent. The director of the game is a film director, and it feels like that. It's a fairy tale. It's like a Grimm's fairy tale that you play. Other than that, I won't say anything. It's awesome. It's total must play. Love it. It's a one-player co-op game is a good way to describe it, actually. You are your own co-op partner. There are two character models on the screen. You control both of them independently with the two analog sticks. So you kind of have to wrap your head on that. So you have those two sticks and the two triggers. The two triggers are interact buttons, which are contextual depending on what the characters are doing or next to or around on screen. That's it. And that's, I mean, I had never heard of, I don't know if anybody's ever done that before, but the kind of control two characters, it does get a little bit into the kind of, you know, tap your head, rub your belly at the same time kind of thing, because you're controlling two characters, you're trying to do different things with each of them to kind of...
There are a number of, like, puzzle games where with one stick or one input, you control a group of dudes, two or more dudes, and you have to, like, figure out how to navigate them all somewhere simultaneously with the same input.
Yeah.
But you're right, I can't think of one with two separate inputs simultaneously.
Yep.
You know?
It's totally novel in terms of that mechanic. The mechanic is really fun. The game is crazy, ultra, terrifically imaginative. I can't say anything about it because it's spoilery to do so, but it's just fabulous. It's completely wonderful.
Yeah. I was sold in like 5 seconds after seeing a screenshot and hearing a one sentence, and I want to wait until PC.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's good.
Brothers.
Nothing, so
something I know nothing about.
Do we want to talk about the AO thing? Or do we want to skip that for next time?
What's AO?
Well, if we're going to play Meat Space games.
What's AO?
You mean the AO, you know that article about the AO rating, the ESRB AO
rating?
Oh,
adults only.
AO ghetto.
Oh.
Yeah. You'd think we would have discussed this before the show, but that's not how we roll.
I don't care.
Okay, let's talk about it next time. I think it's interesting and bears talking about. That's the Escort Mission. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We love you. Seek us out at our various social media locales.
Hey, give us a review on iTunes.
Review us on iTunes, if
we
you would,
We haven't had
please.
A review in a while.
Tell us, a friend.
Tell us how we're doing.
Tell a friend about the show. That's pretty excellent if you do that. And if you're going to buy something on Amazon, do it through our link. We love you.
And you have been doing that, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're rich now. Did we not say that?
Yeah, we're so rich right now. We are literally hundredaires. Someone
tell me Kate Mulgrew was in Origins the New Black.
Yes, I did. No, yes, I did. I was like, dude, she's in that show, and you'll never guess. I didn't even know she was in it because she's implanted so well.
Hey, Robin, Kate Mulgrew is in Origins the New Black.
Who's Kate Mulgrew?
That, like, a month ago.
And you never, well, but she's totally not playing the kind of character you're expecting.
Is she the one from
she's
that
the daughter
show?
Of something else, of Mr. and Mrs. Mulgrew?
She's
Captain Janeway, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Janeway. If you had said Captain Janeway, I would have said, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a Russian cook.
Are you just on episode one? Yeah. What'd you think? Because I brought it up.
We talked about it.
You want to watch more, right? And not just because of her.
It's a little too intense to watch anymore,
yeah. Well, it's, you know.
She loves it.
It's intense.
But you want to watch more at some point.
Eventually.
Yeah, okay, good. There you go. We just got to extra podcast review of that show.
So, thanks for listening. I have been Chaz.
I've been the guy you're pointing at.
Josh.
Later.
Later.